Welcome back. You're with Public Address Radio on Radio Live. The name William Doreen might not ring a bell for you, but you may remember a jolly little tune called Do the Alligator. That was about as poppy as Bill Doreen and his ever-evolving band The Builders ever got, and it's but a brief moment in the musical and in recent years literary career of one of New Zealand's ultimate cultural cult figures. As Graham Hill will tell you any day of the week, Bill Doreen is special. Bill's been back from his current base in Paris to play some low-key shows featuring some of his earliest songs. No fewer than four CD anthologies released by Flying Nun in the 1990s rounded up some of his work from the previous decade, and his most recent, along with readings from himself and other local authors. And he's with us now. Bill, in performances since you've been back, you've performed both music and written work. Would you say there was a time when you were more keen to be known as a writer than a musician, but you're quite comfortable now as both?
Yeah, I've always... music and words are a part of what I am, right? My response to life has always involved music and words, right? I guess it goes back to, I don't know, to saying prayers at night or the Latin Mass, which is sort of half sung. Or maybe it goes back to my mum singing me The Scottish Soldier and reading me a poem. You know, I mean, who knows? But the two have always been sort of together. And because music, appealed to people in the 80s for various reasons, that sort of took the privileged position over the, you know, just over the written stuff, which I've always done. You know what I mean? So it just sort of felt like time about 5 years ago to sit down and try and just develop the word side of things just to a point that I was happier with.
And you've been quite prolific in those last 5 years too. You've written a lot, haven't you?
That's true, Russell, yeah. But a lot of those were projects that sort of were born over the last 20 years that I never had time to complete, you know. Like, I wanted to write a story about a... people who are living in strange environments, like alien sort of environments, you know, which I guess maybe goes back to my song Alien that a lot of people like.
Sing death by fire, oh, like me.
But I just sort of wanted to take it a bit further and develop it more. So when I went to Berlin there, I started hearing about refugees from the war in Yugoslavia who ended up in Berlin, and like, yeah, how incredibly difficult it is for emigre refugees or whatever in another country. And so a plot slowly took shape, you know. So it was a sort of literary experience. But in that story there are some poems which I sort of sang to myself that are songs. And with the most recent novel, Song of the Brake Man, it's actually centred around a song.
That theme of being an alien, as you say, it's in the song Alien, and there is that thing in quite a few of the other songs you've written. You seem quite fascinated by people who are out on the edge, either psychologically or socially. Or, you know, what's the appeal of that?
It probably goes back to my adolescence, to a sort of, nervous crisis that I had when I was about 15, I guess. Where, I don't know, just the world just sort of broke up into little pieces. And I never had any treatment for it or any, you know, since then I've seen the world differently. So it's probably a good thing I didn't have any treatment for it. And, you know, and it's sort of, so that's probably when I became someone who writes words and writes songs and has this sort of obsession with people who are also trying to break down walls, break down barriers.
That's actually an interesting aspect. If you'd been sorted out as a teenager, you might have ended up just thinking the same as everyone else, which wouldn't have been the right outcome.
I don't know if I do think differently from anyone else, but I'm really interested in people who do, and I guess perhaps the imagination, you know, there's so much to develop there, and I feel that we're only really beginning to make progress towards understanding ourselves, and that poetry and music, you know, are really important for that reason, because they take us just a little bit away from those conventional ways of looking at life. You know, we haven't really come very far, you know what I mean? So,
You're living in and working in Paris. What are you actually doing with your days? How are you paying the rent? Is it possible to be a writer in Paris and live?
Oh, absolutely not. Definitely not. No, I've been teaching English as a... You know, I've been doing the sorts of things most Kiwis do when they're overseas. Teaching English as a second language. You're writing for journals, different journals, in the States or in Germany. Doing some concerts, usually in Germany, which is not too far away. And when I lived in Germany, I could play just twice a month, would pay the rent. But when I made the decision to go and concentrate on the written word, around about 2000 or so, I stopped performing with that sort of regularity.
Working in exile for a lot of New Zealand writers and creative people in general often tends to bring home into a particular sort of focus. Has it had that effect for you? Because you've often evoked a lot of things about New Zealand.
Yeah, it's true that a lot of New Zealand writers, when they've been overseas, have written about New Zealand. I mean, going back to Mansfield and Mulgan. I mean, just about all of them. And I guess maybe that's one of the reasons I didn't write about New Zealand specifically, is that I began writing when I was out of New Zealand, and I felt that the reality which I would be reflecting would not actually be New Zealand reality. But I took New Zealand with me and put it into these stories, and I think any New Zealander reading them will see it, you know, in the stories. But I guess I felt that it was a truer response to the experience of exile. What I'd call it, exile, it's a bit of a grand word, but, you know, to actually write about the places where I was. So the refugee story was set in Berlin, the story of the English, of the art teacher, was set in Paris, and then I sort of ran out of places to write about, so I moved into science fiction and created... Well, now that's New Zealand in a way, because it's a New Zealand about, I don't know, 50,000 years in the future, when all the continents have caved in from the oil being sucked out of the earth, you know, and all this ecological disaster. So maybe I did finally come back to New Zealand.
Yeah. One thing you did right back with the Beaten Hearts album was a musical interpretation of Dennis Glover's Magpies, which I'm on record as saying I think should be played in classrooms. What prompted you to do that, and have you ever thought of doing that with any other works by other people? Because I thought it worked really well.
I guess I like the onomatopoeia, you know, of Glover's waddle-doodle. I just heard a recording of him reading it the other day on the new CDs that have come out of classic, you know, New Zealand writers reading their works. In fact, I think his was the only one that I really, really enjoyed.
On a completely different theme altogether, I've always been fascinated by the song America, which is one of the first ones you recorded, because I get the impression that you could write a whole novel about the story that's encapsulated in that song, but you somehow pulled off a little piece of it and made it into this tiny little song. How did that, you know,
Well, the funny thing is the idea for the song kind of came from a novel, or from reading about immigration in the 19th and early 20th centuries, mainly to America. So, and there was one story by Kafka, which is, I guess, was perhaps the one I'd read most recently before writing the song. But the song doesn't use the characters or the story of that. But it did generated the atmosphere, which is what I was looking for with the song, creating a mood and atmosphere, which John Cale is also very good at. I guess I would have to say that John Cale influenced me, you know, when putting that one together as well.
Yeah. Now, we should mention that you have a home for both your words and your music in New Zealand in Titus Books and Power Tool Records, respectively. Both indie operations, which is where you seem to feel comfortable.
It's not that I don't trust bigger organisations. Well, maybe it is, okay. But, you know, at least you know on a person-to-personal level where you are with people. It's a hands-on situation. You're much closer to the final product, closer to the processes, you know. You can be involved with the artwork and give your opinion here and there. I mean, it's just what I feel comfortable with. However, having said that, if anyone from Warner Brothers is listening, I would really like to have a copy of the Flying Nun box set, you know.
Yeah, I'm afraid you're not the only Flying Nun artist to say that. Bill Doreen, thanks very much for your time.
It's been a pleasure.
I hope you enjoy the rest of your stay here. Bill Doreen there. You can find out more about his work at powertoolrecords.co.nz and titusbooks.co.nz. So far as we can tell, his Flying Nun anthologies are out of print, but if you can find them, our picks are Beaten Hearts and Split Seconds.
And that's our show for another week. News is coming up in a minute. We're out of here. If you'd like to hear any of that again, you can find it on our website, publicaddress.net/radio. We'll be back again next Saturday at the same time. Look out for us then. Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Thanks for listening, and I'm David Slack.
And I'm Russell Brown, and we'd like to thank New Zealand On Air.